Hey there, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here, and today I'm going to do something a little unorthodox. You've probably seen, if you watch a lot of stuff on YouTube like I do, all these videos where they're like, top five things I hate about my truck, or top three things I hate about my Tacoma, or, you know, whatever. They'll make an arbitrary number of things in a list about something that they hate, right? Like, that's generally what it is. Over the course of the next two episodes of the podcast, I'm going to do a three things I hate and three things I love, but not about a vehicle, not about a piece of gear, just about overlanding in general. So again, if you are new to the channel, welcome. My name's Fletch. Click that subscribe button down below. Click the bell to be notified when new videos drop. I do a podcast like this every week, and then I do a couple other videos usually every week about gear or do-it-yourself modifications, just anything to do with like budget or starter newbie overlanding. But again, today we are going to talk about the three things that I hate about overlanding. And again, I'd love to hear from you guys if you're on YouTube down in the comments below talking about what you agree with, if you think I missed anything, that kind of thing. And if you're on the podcast channels, again, you can hop over to my other social channels, which are linked in the description below, and join the conversation over there. So let's get into the top three things that I hate about overlanding. When I let you go. So, as I mentioned in the intro, today I'm talking about the top three things that I hate about overlanding in general. I'm going to break this up into a few different sort of sections for this podcast. So again, before we get too deep, I'm going to lay those out for you so you know if this is something that you want to hear about, right? The goal of all my podcasts, all my episodes on YouTube is to provide value to you and hopefully some education, things that I've learned over the last 5 or 6 years that I've been doing this. So again, that's my goal, and I hope that it resonates with you and that you enjoy the content. So let's break this up into three sections. First thing that I hate about overlanding as a whole right now is the toxic culture. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. We're going to talk about what I mean by that and kind of how it's come to be, I think, and my opinions on why it is, and then the ways that I and others are trying to combat it. The second thing is going to be about that sort of keeping up with the Joneses feeling that you get in overlanding. This is basically the same in a lot of these sort of hobbies like car hobbies, truck hobbies, off-roading hobbies, where you see one person with one piece of gear or one modification of their vehicle and you're like, I need that thing. And then you constantly feel like you don't have good enough gear or modifications or a vehicle or whatever it is. So I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. And then the third thing that I'm going to talk about as far as what I don't like about overlanding is the fact that I'm a one-vehicle person right now. I traditionally like to be a two-person vehicle, have one car that does one thing and one truck that does something else, so that I kind of have almost seasonality with my vehicles. But moving to a one-vehicle person has sort of hurt my soul a little bit, and it has greatly reduced the usefulness of my daily driver vehicle because it's also a fully built-out overlanding rig. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why I hate that. And hopefully if you are like in the process of starting, it can help you make a little bit better decisions maybe than I have at this point after I've been doing this for so many years, where I feel like I have to have an overbuilt overlanding rig all the time, whether I'm driving my kids to swim or going out into the woods.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
All right, so let's start off by talking about number one, toxic culture. Again, I've been doing this and I've been aware of the hobby of overlanding here in America for about the last 6 years. And when I first found out about it, I'm pretty sure that it was a very unknown subject. Like, no one that I knew, I didn't know anyone personally that had heard of overlanding or was doing overlanding. It was not a thing. I feel like then people started to make content about it, myself included, like 5 or 6 years ago, started to make a podcast and started to make, you know, episodes talking about different pieces of gear that I was trying out and things like that. And again, no credit to myself whatsoever. There were way bigger guys and gals out there making content that really exploded it, like Expedition Overland, Trail Recon, you know, all those big guys and girls were out there making content about it. And that's kind of how I stumbled on it and how I found out that it was a thing and learned what it was. But back then, 5 or 6 years ago, that culture was completely different. It was like early 2000s car culture, right? Where it was like, oh, that's so cool. You have a Honda Civic? Man, what'd you do to it? That's awesome. Versus fast forward 20 years, and it's like, oh, Honda Civics are for losers. How you got to have a GTR now and blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to have all these expensive vehicles or you're not even, you can't even come to the coffee and cars, right? Like, you're not even cool enough. Don't park over here by me. Go park by the other junk, right? That's kind of that same thing that has happened with car culture has kind of transitioned over into overlanding. And I know, you know, agree or disagree with me in the comments below if you're on YouTube, but this is a thing that just happens. It's cyclical. This is how it always happens with things that involve passion and love, right? So, but as it's gone, it's been very frustrating for me, especially as someone who's relatively new myself and only been doing it for a few years, but now especially having done it for a while, to see newer people trying to enter the realm of overlanding, trying to learn about it, and just constantly being just battered to death with, you can't do that, and that's just car camping, and you're not a real overlander unless you have a rooftop 10, and you need a whittle bitty wadder, or it doesn't count, or you know, any of the number of memes or things that you can think of that you see in a post on a Facebook group or a forum every single day, right? New people try to come into this thing, and they just, it's really hard to find information. It's really hard to get good answers. It's really hard to ask questions without being, you know, beaten to death or set on fire. Flamed, as we used to say back in the old days of the internet. So, you know, that is one of the things, though, for sure, that is definitely making me dislike overlanding more and more every day. Now, again, I'm not going anywhere. I have no plans to, you know, close my channel down or do anything like that because I just love overlanding too much. And I love the really good conversations. The bad part is that the higher percentage of conversations is people making fun of people, people telling people what's right and what's wrong, no matter what the issue is, one way or the other, up and down. You spent too much, you didn't spend enough. You got a crappy piece of gear, you got a really expensive piece of gear, you could have saved money by buying a cheaper piece of gear, right? It doesn't matter what it is. There are always someone out there that thinks they have the right opinion and they would prefer to spread their toxicity rather than just say, either ignore the post altogether if they've seen that question a number of times, or jump in and say, hey, actually, if you hit that search bar up there and search for blah, 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 that will find you the answers that you need. This has been covered a number of times in this group. We can be nice to each other, right? And we're not right now. And I don't know why that is. I think that part of that is social media is just, it's kind of draws the worst of us out. That being remote and being behind a computer screen makes you more brave and makes you want to be a jerk. I personally was raised by my parents in Indiana to be a helpful person and to try and be nice to people, right? So that's what I'm going to try to do for as long as I can. And I hope that you guys will join me in that instead of deciding to, you know, kind of go to the lowest common denominator and just make fun of people because it makes you feel better.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For a second. All right, so next part of this podcast, keeping up with the Joneses. Now, this has become a big thing, but it was a big thing even when I started. I mean, back in the day, I remember watching like my fellow Nissan folks Rogue Overland, and they have these big, you know, built Xterras and, you know, just all these badass Nissans. And I was like, I need my Xterra to be Titan swapped on a 4-inch lift, 5-inch lift, 6-inch lift with 35s. Can I fit 37s? What do I need to cut to fit 37? And I'm just in my head, I'm going through all these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want that. It looks so cool. It's so cool. And again, that's not at all a slap against them. Like, the Rogue Overland guys are awesome. Nick and Nick, I love them. I love their content. But I'm very jealous of them sometimes, right? When I look at their badass rigs, I'm like, ah, so cool. That feeling for me has been something I've had to contend with a lot over the last few years, where like I constantly kind of want to build it bigger, or I build my truck one way and people are like, oh, I really like your truck. It's really cool. And then I see someone else's, I'm like, I really love that truck. I want that. And then I'm like, do I redo everything? Do I tear off my bed rack and go with a camper shell? Do I get a trailer? Do I do a teardrop? Do I, you know, I'm constantly trying to change my setups just because of this feeling of like, not inadequacy per se, but like you do definitely, like you go to a meet and you're like, here's my cool truck that I took 3 years to build and I'm really proud of it and I love it. And then a guy comes in and pulls up next to you in a Gladiator on 40s. And you're like, ah, dang it, man. Nah, I'm going to sell this thing and go get a Gladiator. You know, so like there is a lot of that sort of keeping up with the Joneses. And there are a lot of people out there with way more money than you and I that are happily posting their builds and getting a bajillion clicks and views on their videos and things like that, because it's so sort of unique and crazy and overbuilt that it makes you feel like you need that thing. But as a helpful, friendly reminder, and I've done this with my newest truck. If you've followed me for a while, if you're new, you know, go back and watch some of the old content. I've had a journey. I've had three trucks in the last 6 years. I've kind of tried to pursue a bunch of stuff. I had a big, huge truck on 35s that I still love, and I still have it, and it's great. But it's very impractical for the type of trips I want to do. So my newest truck is actually kind of a pullback. I've kind of come back from where I was, where I thought I had to have this giant, overbuilt, you know, monster truck of a rig, and I really don't. I can do 95% of the stuff I was doing in that truck here in the Midwest in the truck that I've got now. I'm not in Moab. I don't need a rock crawler, right? So keeping up with the Joneses is very sort of a thing that you feel, I think, in your soul, but don't be disturbed by that. Again, I've done other episodes talking about prioritization of how to build your rig out and how to think about your build and stuff, so I'm not going to hammer on that a bunch, but, you know, set your own goals. Set your own realistic goals. Think about what you're really going to do, and then do it that way. Do not get sucked into the keeping up with the Joneses where you're building a truck that you don't even really want, that makes your life more miserable, makes your truck more unreliable, if that's not what you need or want for your overlanding trips. All right, and then the third part of this podcast is the...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the, we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Reduction of usefulness of my overlanding rig. I daily my truck, and definitely by having a rooftop tent on it and a lift and bigger tires and a drawer system in the back, like, we're coming into spring here where I live, and we need to get mulch. And last year I had a truck, and this year I have an overlanding vehicle that doesn't have any room in the bed to put any mulch in it. So we're going to have to figure something out or use my wife's SUV to get all of our mulch to our house. So it's literally actually made a real impact on my life, because I don't have the capabilities that I would have maybe with that truck if I was just using it as a truck. So be prepared for that, right? But also that is one of the things that is a little bit disconcerting or a little bit, you know, sucky about overlanding, is that you do kind of have to make some sacrifices to be able to have a built vehicle that you're ready to hop into at a moment's notice and hit the road and go travel for a week. It also impacts your miles per gallon. It impacts your stability. It impacts your ability just to drive around roundabouts and things like that in your neighborhood. And, you know, it literally changes kind of the way you do everything. I have a Molly panel on the back of my driver's seat, and when I have to take my kids and maybe pick up a couple other neighborhood kids to take them to swimming, they're literally crammed against like a bunch of first aid packs and like backpacks and stuff that are Molly strapped to the back of my seat. And I'm like, hey, sorry, that's the cramped side. Like, go around to the other side, you know? Again, it just impacts everything. And while I love it, and it, in some cases, it makes me more prepared. If something were to happen, I have a first aid kit. If something were to happen, I've got some emergency rations and like freeze-dried meals and ways to cook it, which is pretty cool. But overall, it is kind of a negative impact. It's definitely something that someone that's really casual with overlanding may want to avoid versus turning their rig into like a fully built kind of thing. So those are my three things that I hate about overlanding now. None of those are enough to, you know, make me leave the hobby or rethink my decisions in life or anything like that. But they definitely are pretty annoying and things that do kind of make me wish that there was a better way around it. So eventually I may have a second vehicle again. I've kind of always been a two-car person, but I may have a second vehicle that may help with the daily driver thing. The keeping up with the Joneses thing, you just have to kind of deal with that mentally and emotionally and just say, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm doing my own thing. And then the toxic culture thing, unfortunately, is just something we're all kind of dealing with. And I hope that you guys will join me in it. Just be conscious of it, right? When you are in a Facebook group, it's really easy to see a bunch of people crapping on somebody and saying, haha, you shouldn't have done that or whatever, unless it's dangerous. If it's a dangerous thing, of course, we should try and set that person straight in a nice way, though. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You can say like, hey, really, that's not a safe way to do that. Or you really shouldn't have a camper that big on a truck that small because of X, Y, and Z, right? There are ways to deal with that without being total jerks about it. But, you know, we just all have to kind of band together and agree to take a second, think about what our reply is going to be and try and be helpful, or just skip over it altogether if you feel like you can't not say something mean to the person. as a whole, if a bunch of us make this a movement, then I think that we can kind of win back the overlanding culture. So that will do it for this episode of the podcast. I hope that that was helpful for you. If it was and you're on YouTube, click that like button down below. Also, if you're not already subscribed, click the subscribe button, click the bell to be notified when new videos drop. I do a podcast every single week, and then I do another video or two about gear or do-it-yourself mods, or I have a third-gen Nissan Frontier, so I do a lot of content around the truck. So if you're just listening on the podcast, there's tons of other stuff on YouTube. Definitely consider going over there and subscribing there as well. If you're on the podcast, click that like button, click that favorite button, add it to your favorites. Leave a 5-star review if you don't mind. If you're enjoying the content, that helps me a ton. It just helps get the word out there to other people that this is a good podcast for newbie overlanders to listen to. In the description down below are links to all my other social channels, so check those out if you want to, you know, join the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. There's also a link to my website where I've got funny overlanding camping-themed patches and stickers. So again, if you want anything like that, that's a way to support the channel. It's also a way to get some funny camping stuff to kind of outfit your gear. There is also if you're on YouTube, a join button down below, which is a new thing I'm trying. It's just a really passive way to sort of support the channel. It's like $7 a month. It's for as long or as short as you want, no pressure whatsoever. But again, if you're enjoying the content and you want to support the channel, click that join button. You get some perks with it and some early access to the videos. So it's a cool way just to passively support the channel. Also in the description down below are links to my Patreon group, where we've got a 24/7 Discord. We all kind of chat about gear and rigs. We have a once a month call, and we're doing a couple trips every year now. We're starting that this year in 2024. So there will be actually like a spring and a fall trip that we're going to take together, and it's going to be a ton of fun. There's also the Newbie Overlanders group, which is totally free to join. Tons of awesome members in there. And especially if you are newer to overlanding and don't want to get beat up asking questions and stuff, that's a great place to start. And we'd love to have you. So again, thanks so much for watching. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.